Excellent Movie Adventures.
Welcome to another episode of Excellent Movie Adventures with me, your host, and also today with me is Thomas.
Hello.
And Zachary.
Hola.
Sup? Sup, sup, sup. That's going to stick with me forever. It's from King of the Hill.
Oh.
There's like one episode where Bobby and Joseph from next door, like, they get jobs begging for money like homeless people do. And so they can buy stuff. Like, they get sent out to get real jobs, but then they see, like, cool kids being like, can you spare any change, bro, on the side of the road? And they're, like, buying cool jeans and, like, new CDs and stuff. So they start doing that and buy cool jeans. And anyway, there's, like, a montage of them, like, walking through the school in their cool jeans, and everybody's, like, turning their heads and looking at them because they're so cool. And Bobby's like, sup? And Joseph just goes, sup, sup, sup. Anyway, I don't know. It's just like burned into my head. I don't know why it's so funny. I'm sure if anybody else saw it, they probably wouldn't laugh. But I saw it and I lost it. I thought it was hilarious. Oh, man. Did you guys watch anything good this week?
Nothing.
Nothing? You didn't watch anything, or you just didn't watch anything good?
I don't know. I watched one movie this week, so.
You sound like you really didn't know.
I can't say yet, because it's the movie we're supposed to talk about tonight.
Oh,
okay. The only thing I watched. Other than that, I had caught up on all my wrestling. I was like a week and a half behind. Mm. I was starting to get double shows of everything, and I was like, oh, I got to catch up. So I did a wrestling binge this week.
Yeah. I just...
A lot of fast forwarding.
I just let it get away from me. Like, I'll watch the stuff that I want to watch or that I hear is really good. I'll go back and watch it. But, like, I don't know.
I just
can't do it anymore, man. I can't force myself to sit through a Raw and a SmackDown and an NXT and a... Whatever it is. AEW.
9 hours.
Yeah, it's too much.
That's why I said a lot of fast forwarding.
I don't have that much time in the week.
If you fast forward a lot, the show goes from 2 hours to maybe 45 minutes.
You skip everything you don't want to see.
Exactly.
And then you go back and push play on the thing that you didn't want to see that had something good.
Mm-hmm. That or the match you really don't care about, you just fast forward to the end to see who won.
So what about you, Tommy? See anything good?
I started watching New Girl again.
Oh, yeah?
Show's pretty funny.
Again? I like
that show.
Yeah. I watched it when it was on air originally.
Oh, so are you starting it all over then?
Okay. Yep.
I thought about doing that. We got all the way to the last season, and for some reason we never finished. Oh,
it's further than
we had it recorded. Like, the whole last season, pretty much, we just never got time to watch it.
Oh.
And then we ended up switching TV services and lost it all. Mm. So.
I don't remember why we stopped watching it. I don't know. We just stopped watching it, so we're going to finish it.
I have no idea, like, how to differentiate, like, a season from another season, other than I know that, like, Coach disappears after the first season.
That's the very first episode.
Oh, just the first episode?
Yeah. He disappears and he comes back a few times later.
Yeah. He was just like the roommate. Because
they switch him out with Winston later on, right? Mm-hmm. When Winston leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that there's like a romance between like the Jewish. Well, I guess like they're both Jewish, huh? Both the white dudes.
Schmidt.
Schmidt. And.
I can't remember her name.
Cece. Yeah. It's been that long since I've watched it. I don't remember any of their names really. But except for the two black guys. Good for me.
Wow.
Anyway, there's like a relationship between them, and then it's like on again, off again. And then there's like a season where the main character, Zooey Deschanel's character, dates that
Nick
character. Yeah. And that's I remember liking the show, but I don't remember like anything about it.
Yeah.
I know there's a crossover episode between that show and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Basically Zooey Deschanel plays her character Jess because they live in New York.
Yeah.
And
they live in California.
Is it California?
That's what they said in the episode.
Oh, anyway.
I don't know. There's maybe an episode where they're in New York or something. Anyway, he is involved in like a police chase, and he gets in her car and forces her to get over into the passenger seat. So he's driving around with the Jess character in the car that he's confiscated to chase someone. And she's got like soup and like spills it. And he ends up like dropping her off outside of their apartment building.
Huh.
So
interesting.
I could have sworn that they were in New York for part of that show.
Maybe for part of it, but at the beginning they say it's California.
Well, there you go. Anyways, I didn't really watch anything this week either. I don't know. It's just been kind of busy. I did watch some...
Ooh, take it back. I did watch something.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you in just
a second. That's fine. I just remember.
You have to wait
ahead.
Now.
I know. You go ahead. I just... it just clicked in my head.
I've now seen every episode of the show Alone.
Okay.
Through season 6, I believe. Nice. So that's every season that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
And by far the worst season is the season where they have doubles. And I think that's because I had this friend who was like, wait till they get teams of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so like they drop one person off to like set up base camp, and then they like drop off their partner on the other side of the island, and that person just has like an overnight sack, a compass, and a bearing, and they have to like find their way to this other person.
Yeah.
And like normally there's 10 contestants, but to send 10 teams of people, that's 20 people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people, and I'm sure they don't want to spend that much money. So they do 7 teams, so that's 14 people. But in the first episode, 3 teams quit. So, and then like 5 days later, another team quits. So for the majority of like the 3 months that they're out there, there's only like 6 people. And they're on teams, so it's really like there's only 3 people, because like... Yeah. This person's not filming something different than this person's filming. Like, if they're together, they're filming the same thing.
Yeah, if you lose that many people, you'd think, like, halfway through, you'd be like, okay, here's the option. You can split up or stay together and maybe get something different out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, because they're not involved with the people aside from medical checks once they drop them off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, like, the teammate people. You'd be like, because there's the one dude that wanted to fish all the time and the one that didn't. You'd be like, all right, this isn't working. We're splitting up. Let's see how you do. Yeah.
Could have done don't know. Right, but it would be up to the contestants to decide that. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like, if they're
and
like,
they're not thinking, like, we should split up for better television or whatever.
No. Like, but, like, if you can see there's contention between them, just be like, here's the thing. You want to split up or do you want to stay together?
Well, yeah.
And have them go their own way.
That's the thing. They would never ask them to split up because they only see them during med checks and they don't have any of the film until it's over. And then they edit it all together because they're out there alone.
They can call them on the phone. It's a two-way radio.
That kind of negates the being alone, like the rules of the show, though.
No, they're making it alone.
Well, anyway, also they're not alone, which is one of the reasons why that season sucks.
That's what I'm saying. They could make them alone.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd be surprised if they do that again. they only did that in one season. And in my opinion, it's the worst season. And then Lizzie and I watched another season of Survivor because we found out Hulu has like all of them.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I will not watch all of them, but because there's so many.
You say that now, but you've already watched more than you said you would last time.
It's like what, 25 seasons?
You're right, I did watch another season. Yeah, I think there's over 30. There's a lot.
There's like 30 some odd.
That's right, because at one point they were doing it like twice a year.
Oh, I didn't know.
I remember right, I think they were doing like, I could be wrong.
Probably. It only takes.
I think they were doing like a summer series and then a fall series or something.
Anyway, Lizzie and I just looked up like what the best seasons of that show are by consensus online or whatever, and we're just kind of busting through those. I watched a few more episodes of that flight attendant show.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Me and Kara started that.
It's not a show for Kara.
We got 2 or 3 episodes in. It's really slow. Does it get better?
See, I feel like
it picks up.
Yeah, I feel like it picks up. I think the first episode is intriguing enough.
Mm-hmm. It was
kind of hook you and pull you in. The second episode is a little slower because they now have to like
you have to build the characters.
Build all the characters and stuff. But I feel like it is better as time goes on. Like I watched some more of it. I thought it was good.
Real quick, there are 40 seasons of Survivor.
Holy crap!
It's been on for like 20 years.
Yeah, so 2 seasons a year. Wow.
It's actually probably been on longer than 20 years, but
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, what was the thing you watched?
I actually watched two that I forgot about. we talked about it last week a little bit, but The Honest Thief, Liam Neeson.
Oh, okay.
That was actually pretty good.
Oh, you know, I started watching that, but I didn't finish it.
Yeah, it's generic Liam Neeson movie. I have no issues with it.
Yeah.
You know, not one of the best ones I've seen, but it's not bad at all either.
I didn't hate it, but I definitely could have finished it, and I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a generic Liam Neeson. I bought it just sight unseen, and I don't regret buying it at all.
The Girlfriend Lives, so, right, I assume?
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Not really.
I haven't seen it.
But are you going to see it?
Not anymore. I already know how it ends.
That, and I watched Mortal Kombat.
The original?
Yes.
Nice.
On to Annihilation, which is not as good.
And but they've recast everybody.
Yes. Minus Johnny Cage. But he dies in the first 5 minutes anyways.
Whoa, spoilers.
Come on, man. I haven't seen this.
For a movie that's like 30 years old.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think Mortal Kombat is definitely worth... Oh, and
recast Liu Kang either.
Right, but he's the main character.
Yes, but anyways.
I think that movie is worth watching.
Annihilation?
Both of them.
Yes.
But, like, there's got to be nothing else to watch.
So...
If you're a huge Mortal Kombat fan, I'd say it's worth watching just to have watched it. But
I wanted to go back and watch them because I just started playing Mortal Kombat 11. Mm. And so I was like, oh, I'll go back and watch them. Because they actually, Mortal Kombat 11, the storyline actually dives into the original movies. So the storyline of Mortal Kombat 11 is there's a new character in there and they comes in and it breaches the timeline.
Okay.
And it brings... Basically, it has all the characters from the original Mortal Kombat come into the future. And so now there's two of everybody, but you have an old version and a young version. And they actually talk about it. Oh, we were just in Mortal Kombat. You know, we were just in the thing. And so they reference the movie actually quite a bit in this new one, in this new game. And they actually have a skin pack that you can buy, too. That you can get of all the old characters like Christopher Lambert and stuff like that, Raiden's. But... Anyways, I went back and watched them.
They recast him in the second one too,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it's a it's a pure 90s adrenaline rush.
Nice.
Yeah. Lots of techno. It's not great by any means, but you know what? For when it was made in the area it is, it's not bad.
I remember in one of them, it's the first one, when Reptile shows up,
yes,
to fight him, and like he throws him through that wall or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and then he has to fight Reptile, and the whole time, who fights him? Is it Liu Kang or Johnny Cage?
Liu Kang.
So Johnny Cage is just standing there watching him fight this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he ambushes them and he attacks both of them,
mm-hmm,
but then they like throw him through that wall, and then like Liu Kang goes to fight him, but Johnny Cage doesn't go with him. It's just like he's just standing there by the broken down wall. He's just like, good luck. I don't know why, but like even as a kid I remember like, wait, why isn't Johnny helping him?
Because he was just fighting him.
It makes no sense.
Well, the funny thing is I think that would have been a perfect time to, because they tried to incorporate a lot of the game techniques, mm-hmm, into the movie. I could tell just by watching it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is a lot from the game. And anyways, I thought it would have been a perfect time for them to do a tag-in thing. Because you remember, you could tag in your other characters.
Oh, in the original game?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that. I think it was Mortal Kombat 2, in the Mortal Kombat 2 game, or 3, okay, or something like that. You could be fighting someone, and you could actually have a tagging character, so you could have two characters that you could fight with.
Huh.
And anyways, yeah, I thought it would be kind of cool to have Liu Kang, like, he gets kicked out of the screen, then Johnny Cage comes in and fights a little bit, and then... He gets kicked out of the screen. Liu Kang comes back. But
it just, I don't know. It's weird. Like, the other guys, the bad guys are cheating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, trying to win. And here, nobody's watching this fight unfold, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's an ambush. It's not even a sanctioned fight, you know what I mean, for somebody's soul or anything. And Johnny Cage is just like, you got this, bro. I'll just chill right here. Hopefully you don't die. If he kills you, I'll jump in and avenge you. I'll spread you legend.
see they got Topher Grace for the Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
Paying $15 million for him.
Wait, is it Topher Grace? Not Topher Grace.
Or Tobey Maguire.
I was going to say Topher Grace.
Yep.
Tobey Maguire, and then they got the other guy too.
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield, yep. Should be interesting.
And I've heard that this the new Doctor Strange is going to set that up.
Yeah.
Is going to set
I feel like the people who are writing this film just looked online for like a fan theory and they're like, yeah, we'll just make that.
Well, I think it's also...
Give the fans what they want.
Because all this stuff, all like the Doctor Strange is going to set up the new Spider-Verse movie, yes, essentially, or whatever, that's going to star all the live-action heroes.
The live-action multiverse.
That's like just a fan idea from like 3 years ago when Spider-Verse came out. Yeah. They're like, they should do that with real people. And Doctor Strange could set it up. And they should get back so-and-so and so-and-so, and they should bring back this villain and that villain. And then somebody at Sony or Marvel was just like, yeah, we're going to do that.
So...
I saw that YouTube video. It sounds like a good idea. We can make millions of dollars. Yeah.
I think this is Marvel's last ditch effort to throw it in Sony's face. Like, we're going to, because this is the last movie that Marvel has for Spider-Man.
Then why waste it?
Once they're done with this one, it goes back to Sony.
Yeah. I don't know. You're right, because they negotiated that one last film or whatever, but I bet you they'll come up with some other agreement.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is Marvel's trying to do this in hopes that Sony will see...
Lend him to them again.
Okay, well, you know, in order to continue this storyline, it did so great, we have to use other Marvel characters. And but...
Do you know Tobey Maguire's 46?
That's
wild to me.
I mean...
I hope his acting got better.
He was obviously 30 years old when he was playing Spider-Man as a teenager, so...
I didn't know that.
Everybody in that movie is some 30-year-old person.
Also, did you see that there might be another Christopher Nolan Batman?
I did not see that.
Really?
Yeah, because Tenet bombed so hard, he's going back to the thing that made him so popular, getting all that money.
Tenet bombed? Are you sure?
Well, yeah, because they didn't have people in theaters watching.
Yeah, that's true.
But... I would imagine that movie will probably make its money back from streaming. It'll take time, but I think they will.
But apparently,
I saw some projections a while back on like movies' losses from COVID openings and stuff.
Yeah,
and COVID did lose a lot of money.
Yeah,
but they on that same article they had projected that it'll earn its money back from.
Yeah, streaming. I would imagine it's really well done. Everyone's going to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's on home release now, so people are going to buy that movie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but apparently it really shook him, and he's gonna.
Already made its money back.
Oh,
there you go. Well,
$205 million. I mean, granted, it's only made $362 million, so they've profited $150 million. But
they also had to pay for whatever the ad campaign was.
Yeah, so that's not a huge.
It probably hasn't actually made its money back yet, but I bet you it will.
Yeah,
but apparently he got shook, and he's in talks with WB. About another Batman. Well, and he does not want to use Ben Affleck, which is good.
People are...
I heard we're getting three different Batmen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Christopher Nolan, Ben Affleck, and Robert Pattinson.
Well,
I guess not this year with Christopher Nolan, but he's going to be...
Right, but this year alone, we're getting Michael Keaton's return as Batman. Oh, yeah.
So
Ben Affleck has one more movie, and then Robert Pattinson.
I think that's going to get pushed back till 2022, though.
Well, I'm just saying, off current projections, we're getting three. It could change.
So I've got this actually thing right here that they put out. It's called The Future of Batman. And it says there will be three Batmans in 2022. So you got Ben Affleck,
Michael Keaton, Robert Pattinson.
Ben Affleck will return as the Batman for The Flash. Zack Snyder is busy with other projects and has no plan for future Justice League sequels. The Flash will embrace the multiverse.
And fight gray villains everywhere.
Christina Hodson is writing both The Flash and Batgirl. Michael Keaton will appear in The Flash and reportedly take on a Nick Fury mentor role in the future DC films, possibly Batgirl, because he signed up for multiple movies to come back as Batman. And then the Batman starring Robert, this is what I thought was interesting, The Batman starring Robert Pattinson will be a separate film franchise on Earth 2. Mm-hmm. The DCU is on Earth 1. So I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just feel like they're going to make too many of these like they're doing with
Marvel. I want them to do a Batman Beyond movie Michael Keaton as old Batman.
I was going to say, which I think Christopher Nolan probably could be shooting the idea for. Maybe. Because there's a lot of people who are wanting Batman Beyond movie or Nightwing, because where I was at, though, with that whole thing is you've got that whole how they ended it with Joseph Gordon-Levitt showing up. I don't know if that's who you'd want to – I mean, if he even wants to do anything, but
– I don't know if he will, but I think it would be good.
Yeah. I mean, you could – Nolan could come back easily.
Yeah.
And start a Batwing or Nightwing. Nightwing. And, so, and then you could easily get – I guarantee you Michael Keaton would be like, heck yeah, I'll do a – you know, he's already said he can come back for some movies. So
He looks now like old Batman or Bruce Wayne did in Batman Beyond.
Yeah. So they could easily make it happen.
I say go for it.
It for one movie.
I remember, I like Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't see him coming back.
I don't see him coming back to that franchise.
Because I feel like...
He's got a lot of other stuff going on.
He has a lot of stuff going on, and he doesn't need to come back to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And lock himself into playing one character for three more movies or something. I don't think he'll do that.
Yeah.
And also, he's... Like, the character, Terry... Whatever. I don't know what his name is. McGinnis or whatever from Batman Beyond. It's like a young college kid.
He's like 19.
Towards the end of high school. He's a kid, you know?
Yeah.
And so, not that... You know, in the history of movies, it's not like we haven't seen 30-year-old people playing teenagers.
We were just talking about Spider-Man.
Exactly. Right? So, I mean, it could happen, but then the whoever the actor is going to age out of that role quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why they cast, I mean, it's true. He's 20-something, but that's why they cast the new Spider-Man as younger than they had done previously. Yeah. So
that's true, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt, he's probably almost even in his 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting pretty old.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you he's near 40.
Because I'm trying to think, Third Rock from the Sun, he was young, but he was about the same.
Well, he was a teenager back then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he definitely was like a big, he was a pretty big deal by the time that show ended.
Yeah.
He's like barely in the last season of that show. Mm-hmm. That show only ran for like 4 seasons, I think.
I think it was more than that.
Yeah, he was born in 81.
Yeah, so 39. Wait, no, turning 40 this year, yeah.
So he's 6 years older than us, or me and you.
So he's going to turn 40 this year?
Yeah, so I'll be turning 40. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't see him. It'd be cool, I would accept it. If he came back and said, hey, I want to do something.
Nightwing, I think he could do it.
Yeah, I'd accept it. I'd say that's great.
I just don't think he will do it.
Yeah.
Especially when they could go and cast somebody else younger for the role and have them for 3 movies. You know what I mean?
Since so much time has elapsed since the last movie anyways.
Right.
So.
Because, like, as great as those movies were.
Still are.
I don't know. yes, they are great movies. But I'm just saying they were great when they came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They are still great movies.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, like, audiences, they kind of grow out of even older franchises.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, especially when they're dormant for so long.
Yeah.
Like, if they came back and they were like, I would argue, even if they were like, hey, Christian Bale is returning as Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know that it would do that well, especially with how much Batman we've gotten the last few years.
I don't want to see Christian
Bale. And just how up and down, like, WB has been with DC. Like, even if Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale are attached to a Batman movie together, I don't know that anyone other than diehard fans will go and see it. Like, I would bet you it would not do the numbers that the two sequels did under any circumstances.
Because it's starting all over.
Yeah.
For me, Christopher Nolan is enough. I don't need Christian Bale on another Batman movie.
All right. I'll go see Christopher Nolan Batman movie also.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, the average movie going person,
I mean,
ship sailed.
I mean,
a lot of like people like us know who Christopher Nolan is.
Yeah.
The average person doesn't know who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the average, I don't think the average moviegoer knows that. Yeah. I don't think they know who Quentin Tarantino is necessarily. You know what I mean? They just like good movies. People who are into films to a certain degree, that's when you start like learning directors' names, producers' names, that kind of stuff. But like, I don't know, the average teenager who's going to take their date to the movies, they don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just see a trailer and decide whether it's good or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see Christopher Nolan, Michael Keaton team up for a Batman Beyond movie. I think that'd be sick.
That would be awesome.
It could happen. I would even take Christopher Nolan, Robert Pattinson.
I will reserve Michael Keaton judgment until 2022.
I'd see them team up to do. He could be Nightwing.
Going what through some puberty?
Robert Pattinson could be Nightwing.
He squeaked on that one.
He's young enough, he could do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've already cast him as Batman. So
I was going to say, you can't really swap the roles now, but.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
It's Universe 1 and Universe 2.
That's true.
Also, in the comic books, I'm pretty sure, whatever the character's name is, the guy who is Nightwing, he is Batman at some point. I think he then.
Yeah, when he grows into it.
Well, yeah, he takes over for Bruce Wayne at some point. He gives up the mantle back to him again, I think. But, like, multiple people have been Batman. It's not just Bruce Wayne in the comic books. You know what I mean? He's just the main Batman. Mm-hmm. So.
He's the OG.
Yep.
All right.
Interesting.
How did we even get started on Batman?
I don't know. It up? Did I?
No.
Oh.
I did.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, that's right. You were bringing up Christopher Nolan. That's right. It's all it takes for us is you say Batman and we're gone for 20 minutes.
Because we all love and hate Batman. Well... Batman. We all love Batman.
I was going to say, there's no hostility for me.
Yeah, we all love Batman in general, but we have very different opinions on what Batman is and should be.
Yes. Especially this new one coming up in 2022.
Which is going to be awesome.
We'll see.
It's going to be good.
Is it 20? Oh, I'm assuming it's 2022 because I just read that. Yeah.
They haven't even finished filming.
Did you guys see the Lego trailer for that?
Mm-mm.
So they reshot that whole trailer. With, like, the Riddler, like, duct taping that guy at the beginning, you know? Only it's Legos. The whole thing is Lego. And it's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. Wait, who plays the Riddler?
It's Paul Dano.
That's right. Okay. That's right.
Another great casting choice in a Batman movie.
I forget this new Batman coming up. It has three villains in it? Four?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just three. The beginnings of everyone.
The Riddler, Penguin...
And somebody else.
That's right.
But I don't remember who. Doesn't matter.
Anyways.
All right.
On to what we watched this week.
We shall dive into the movie we watched this week,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic, I say. It's even in the name of the film.
It's funny you say fantastic.
Because the movie that we watched this week is The Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I love. Which you guys know that because I've told you multiple times.
Yes.
But yeah, I think this movie is great. It was directed by and written by
Wes Anderson,
who I feel like if you like
any of his... Who also had a role in the movie, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you like any of his movies, you will like this one. I actually think this... people would probably argue maybe Royal Tenenbaums or The Life Aquatic is his best film.
Yeah.
But I think it's this movie. And the reason that I say that is because this is the one movie he has where I feel like anybody could watch this movie and enjoy it. I'm not saying that everyone will enjoy it because, you know, some people...
But they should if they're not a cold-hearted monster.
Yeah.
Stare at me, will ya?
You know, not everybody likes every movie.
You haven't heard my judgment yet.
Not everybody likes every movie. But this movie, I feel like kids can watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And kids can't watch his other films.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they're terrible, because I think a kid could probably get through...
I don't think they could watch Royal Tenenbaums. No, they might be able to watch... No. I haven't seen Life Aquatic, though.
They couldn't watch that either. Okay. So the one reason I feel like kids couldn't watch it, I just feel like well, one is they're not some of them aren't suitable for children because there's like language and nudity issues, but also the movies, the cadence in the film and like the speed the movies run, it's just not going to hold a child's attention. Okay. You know what I mean?
Even this one starts out a little slow, really.
Yeah. This movie,
well,
this movie it has a faster pace than most of them.
Yeah.
But it's also the characters are colorful enough and funny enough that I think it would hold. And speaking from experience, I know that my two boys, Lilu hasn't seen this movie, but they both really enjoy this film and enjoyed it when they were younger also, you know?
Yeah, I was watching this and I was thinking, my kids would not sit still for this. It's hard
enough. It's a calmer movie, but all of his movies are like that. So, I mean, this movie is like any other Wes Anderson film in terms of feel and vibe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I just feel like this movie could be watched by anyone and enjoyed by anybody.
You know? I think my kids would start out kind of okay with it, and then occasionally she would just get distracted after 30 minutes. She'd just be like, whatever.
Well, yeah, but that's one of the reasons why I haven't tried to watch this with Leo is because she's just too small to watch anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not singing and absurdly colorful, then she's not going to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, but I think this movie is his best film personally, because I feel like it's just, it's got everything.
It's good. It's fun. Yeah. It's got his style all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
I don't know his style. So
have you not seen any of his other films?
No.
All right.
Look for next week.
We're going to go ahead and get Zach's opinion here in just a second, because Zach
vehemently
historically has been against watching this movie. We've talked about doing it a couple of times in the past. Got it
for Christmas at one point.
He got it for Christmas and returned it without watching it. And he's like, I just don't care for the animation style. My favorite movie is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
No, it wasn't that I didn't care for the animation style. It's just I didn't think the movie looked good at all.
Well, I know that you said something about the animation at one point. But regardless of whether you said that or not, I feel like this movie... It might have
been an excuse.
I feel like this movie, if you're going to like a Wes Anderson film, this is the one.
Based off how it's done, you just have to admire what they did.
Right. It has phenomenal casting. Mm-hmm. The writing is good. I think the story is great. And it's stop motion. And I know you got a soft spot for stop motion stuff.
I do have a soft spot for stop motion.
So anyway, did you like this movie?
So...
He's smiling.
I tried my hardest to hate this movie.
Yes.
And I thought it was actually really well done.
I love this really movie. Good. It's awesome, right?
Even to like the small little tidbits in the background where something's on fire and you've got the little clouds of cotton
that
looks like fire smoke. And I thought it was very well done.
Yeah. It's so. His version of like, and it's funny because he has stop motion animation in other films too. Mm-hmm. Like he did the Isle of Dogs, which is another like the whole movie is like that.
That's one I won't watch. But, I'm sorry.
So
I've tried.
I would say I wouldn't recommend it to you. I actually feel like that movie is misleading because it's animated like Fantastic Mr. Fox is. Mm-hmm. You would think that, hey, here's another
happy fun thing,
cute little movie that I could watch with the kids. But that movie is extremely slow. And it takes a long time to get going. And I think his artistic decision to not have subtitles for all the Japanese-speaking characters, because they want us to feel isolated like the dogs are and not know what the humans are actually saying.
Ah,
I feel like that alienates a lot of people. Yeah. So I understand why he did it.
Absolutely.
And I do like that movie. But if I'm going to rank the Wes Anderson films, that movie is towards the bottom. And I love Wes Anderson. So, like, I'm even not huge on that movie. I wouldn't, like I was just saying, I wouldn't recommend that movie to anyone.
That one looked horrible.
Unless they're a huge Wes Anderson fan. If they love everything else that he's done that they've seen, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, you should watch this. But first, have you seen these other ones? You know, because I would recommend those first. Anyway, I'm glad that you liked this movie, Zach.
I did.
And also, you pointed out something that I wanted to bring up. The attention to detail is great in this movie. Like, I feel like he went above and beyond to do that kind of stuff. Like when something's on fire and the smoke is cotton, like spun out and coming off of things. And they do it everywhere.
Yeah.
I just think it looks awesome for one. And yeah. I don't know. I love all the little quirks of the characters and stuff in the movie and how, like, silly things become.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's poisoning. He's basically putting these dogs. He's knocking them out. He's not killing them. But, like, he's, like, shooting blueberries that are drugged at these dogs.
And then the eyes immediately switch.
Yeah, and the eyes roll over to eyes with asterisks on them. I don't know. It's just too funny. I really like the opening to this movie where it's it kind of has like a snippet of like the characters, and then it immediately goes into Mr. and Mrs. Fox going to like steal some chickens, and you really get like a feel for his character in the film.
Yeah.
And before we dive too into it, I guess I should say like how this movie did.
Yeah, we should go over the cast a little bit too. We didn't talk about that at all.
I'm on the Wes Anderson page, not on the Fantastic Fox page.
So we got George Clooney as Mr. Fox, Meryl Streep as Mrs. Fox.
And I will say this, I, in general, am not a very big Meryl Streep fan. I know that she's supposedly, like, the greatest actress who ever lived. But I just feel like she's this lady who's, like, never been young. Like, she's always looked like she looks. She's
always
an old. And so I don't trust her because I feel like she's...
She's a vampire.
It's true, because...
Yeah! She's like a vampire or something.
Wasn't she in Death Becomes Her?
Yes.
And she looked really old in that movie, too.
She looks exactly like she looks today.
Yes. Touché.
Yeah. Anyway, I agree she's a very talented actress, but something about her, just... I don't trust her.
Then we got Bill Murray as Badger, Jason Schwartzman as Ash, Wallace Wolodarski as Kylie... and Eric Chase Anderson as Christofferson.
Yep.
William Dafoe is a rat.
Owen Wilson
is Coach Skip. Michael Gambon is Franklin Bean.
Wes Anderson himself is the weasel.
And then that's really all the big names, I believe.
Brian Cox. He plays a really big part in the, Bourne movies.
Sure. I don't know the name. Oh, he's the tech dude, right? Brian Cox, he's the tech dude in the Bourne ones.
Adrian Brody is also in this film.
What?
Yeah, he is the field mouse.
Oh, the one that says one thing.
Well, he has like two or three lines, but they're all really short. Yeah. I remember seeing his name in the credits. So.
Yeah, I think it's the same thing with Brian Cox. He's a lot of these characters just are short, short characters. Yeah. But
Roman Coppola, is that Francis Ford Coppola's son?
I don't know. I think that's all the main cast.
It's actually funny too. A lot of these people I'm noticing are stretched out in other Wes Anderson movies.
Oh yeah,
and there some of them who actually had good parts in this movie. Is actually like writers or producers or something in other forms with their other movie. Yeah. So just because like they have an acting part in this one, but in his other movies, they'll be used as a writer or something. Like Roman Coppola, he actually was a writer for Isle of Dogs.
Yeah.
And
a couple other ones. He reuses a lot of actors too.
Yeah.
Specifically, the Wilson brothers are in a bunch of his movies.
And Ed Norton.
Bill Murray, Edward Norton. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all in a ton of his movies.
Yeah.
George Clooney is in Isle of Dogs also. So he's in at least two. I know Adrian Brody's in a bunch. I think three. So I know he's in this. And I know he's in...
The Life Aquatic and...
And The Grand Budapest.
Yep.
Well, who is he in Life Aquatic?
Isn't he in... No, he's not in Life Aquatic.
I think you're thinking Jeff Goldblum. He's in Life Aquatic.
Yes.
So Adrian Brody's in at least this one, and I know he's in Grand Budapest. Oh, sorry. I was like,
you mad at me?
Because I took a movie away.
Flipping me off because I got one movie wrong.
I was taking your movie away.
Well, and then he brought back Jason Schwartzman from Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Murray's in a lot of them.
Bill Murray's in, I think, almost all of them, if not all of them.
But
anyway, this movie was made on a budget of $40 million. And it only made $46 million. So not a successful film really by any means.
I don't feel like any of his movies are real big, like blockbusters.
Though. It only made half of that in the U.S.
Jeez.
So the other half was elsewhere. And you're right. His movies aren't big. They're all kind of smaller releases, but I feel like I would be interested to see how his other films have done and then like what numbers he pulls on home release.
Yeah.
Cause it's weird because like, I feel like if you're a Wes Anderson fan, you're going to go see basically anything he puts out.
Probably. Yeah.
And you're probably going to buy it when it comes out, but like who else is going to buy it or go get that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I know it's not like super expensive to put movies onto DVD and Blu-ray, so I would imagine that those sales probably just make up for it all. But
yeah,
because you know it costs like 2 cents to print a disc or whatever. You know. Anyway, this movie is decently old at this point. Came out in 2009, and it's PG. I thought it was PG-13, but it is PG.
Yeah,
yeah. They don't really ever swear.
Most of his films are rated R, mostly for language. But when I think Wes Anderson movies, I don't think that they are, like, cuss-heavy.
Yeah. So I was looking at some of the budget on his other films. They're only, like, $16 million. The Life Aquatic was $50 million. That had the largest cast and everything going into it. But
what did it make?
This is what I'm trying to find out.
That movie, it lost money.
Yeah?
$34 million off a $50 million budget.
I feel like all of his movies usually bring in about 50 million, 40 to 50.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird because like now that I'm thinking about it, like who is financing these films for him? You know what I mean? When they don't make money.
I would say Bill Murray.
Oh yeah, yeah, probably.
True. No, it probably is true.
I bet though, he has producing credits on any one of them that he's in. Yeah,
I
should look
that up. I know he has a telephone line set up to go straight to an answering service, and you just pitch him ideas. So anyone can call and do that. So, yeah, if he likes it, then he'll be a part of it and get it produced and everything.
Well, obviously he has a, you know, friendly relationship with this, with Wes Anderson, but yeah, I don't know. What else has he done? I wonder if he has any like massive blockbusters that we just don't consider a Wes Anderson film. You know what I mean?
The Darjeeling
thing. Yeah, but that's not
a blockbuster, but I feel like that was well received.
Well, yeah, well, most of these movies are well received by people, but like.
So his biggest one, I think, is Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
$21 million in worldwide gross was 71.
That movie made money.
Yeah. And he killed it on Royal Tenenbaums.
That movie also has a big cast.
Yeah.
That's early for him though. Really early.
That was 2001.
Yeah. Because Bottle Rocket was in 96, and then Rushmore, and then Royal Tenenbaums. So that was his third thing he ever did.
Yeah.
If you don't count the short Bottle Rocket short film. But then he did Life Aquatic right after that, and that movie lost money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Rushmore. Rushmore actually doubled its money. I mean, $9 million, and it only made 17.
Right.
But
that's actually the only one I've never seen.
I've heard that one's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I had no interest to see it, I guess, but I've heard it's actually really pretty good.
Oh, Adrian Brody's in the Darjeeling Limited. That's the third one. Yeah. Anyway, I would say if you are a Wes Anderson film,
how can you fanatic. Be a Wes Anderson film? Oh, okay, there you go.
If you are a fan of Wes Anderson films, I think his best films, or the ones that at least you should make sure you see, are, again, I haven't seen Rushmore, so I can't recommend it personally, but Zach says it's really good.
I've heard.
Oh, you've heard.
I've heard. Okay. I've not seen it. I've heard.
Anyway, I've heard Royal Tenenbaums and The Life Aquatic, I think, are must-watches, because they're early works of his, but also they're great movies. This movie, obviously, The Fantastic Mr. Fox, I personally would also say The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah, that's good.
Is a must see from him. And if I have to, if I'm picking another one, which is probably the only other one really, is Moonrise Kingdom. And that one is the only Bruce Willis team up. And he's currently working on a movie called The French Dispatch. I'm just going to click on that real quick, see what we got going here.
You've actually seen the preview for it.
Have I?
Yes.
Oh, I have.
They released a preview on it a while ago.
You're right. And then I have seen the COVID hit.
Put a stop production on it, but it's got Edward Norton, Bill Murray.
Of course. Elizabeth Moss, Tilda Swinton,
Willem Dafoe, Adrian Brody, Owen
Wilson. Willem Dafoe's in a lot of his movies too.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, he is.
Liev Schreiber will be in this one. Benicio del Toro, Angelica Houston.
Christoph Waltz is in this movie.
Henry Winkler, Jeffrey Wright.
Wow.
This one's got a huge cast. Bob Balaban. Yeah, this one's actually got a really big cast for it. That being said, the previews I saw, and it didn't look good.
Well, yeah, but you didn't think this movie looked good.
You didn't think any of his movies looked good.
Well, I don't.
And you've been wrong.
I honestly think...
Once.
I honestly...
That's all that matters.
So have you seen any of his other films or no?
No.
No? I honestly think you'd like at least those ones that I named.
I did want to see Life Aquatic. That one actually looked really pretty good. But I just never made it around to seeing that one.
So at least those ones that I just named off, I think you would enjoy every single one of those.
I think if I remember right, working in the theaters, Royal Tenenbaums came out at the time when I was working there, and I saw a few previews for it, and then it was sold out for quite a while. That one actually kind of drawed my interest as well.
2001? You were working in the movie theaters in 2001? You would have been like junior high or something.
How old are you really?
Wow. Maybe that was the time that my dad was working in the theaters.
Okay.
And I was going to see movies with him.
That seems That seems more in line with the timeline of your life.
That's right. We're the same 2001, age. I'd be 13.
Yeah.
So, touche.
Anyway, I really like the opening of this movie.
Holy crap, I forgot. That was
spoiler. Yeah, that's what we were talking about. Because we get to meet Mr. and Mrs. Fox, and we get a really good sense of like what their characters are. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just a couple that's in love, and they're foxes, and they're out to kill and steal chickens and just have fun. And
squab. Do you know what a squab is, Zach?
No.
It's a young pigeon.
Okay.
Whatever those are.
Ugly bird.
I know. I was just saying, like, later on in the movie.
I know.
She's, like, mad at him because he's at it again or whatever. And she's just like, you promised you would never kill any more chicks, ducks, turkeys, or squab, whatever that is. Because she doesn't even know. This might be my favorite Meryl Streep movie now that I think about it. And it's mostly because...
I don't know.
I really like plays an animated character. And so it's like, I don't remember that it's her when I'm watching it, you know?
I really liked Death Becomes Her.
So. I love that movie. Really? As, I mean, you might guess because I just love Bruce Willis. But she basically is trying to tell him something, and he's just like, you look really nice today. You're absolutely glowing. And then she transforms into like a Christmas light. Did you guys notice that?
Well, she didn't transform.
Well, no, her character doesn't transform, but it's a different type of puppet. Like, it's like a hard plastic puppet with a light in it. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, I noticed that, yeah. I caught that.
Anyway, I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's like, I don't know. It's like, you notice it, and it's like she's actually glowing because there's a light bulb inside the puppet, like all lit up.
I actually noticed that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it turns out that she's pregnant, and now she wants him to stop doing all this crazy stuff, so he just agrees.
Yeah.
And then it jumps forward in time, and we see, in my head, for some reason, I remember seeing them escape.
Yeah, it never shows
But it doesn't show the escape. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, we find out how they did it later. But,
how? Maybe I missed that.
Well, they dug their way out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why later Touché. On, when he's like, we've been trapped like this before.
Yeah.
It's time to... He just starts yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, so funny. This might be, of all the George Clooney heist movies, this one's probably my favorite.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if that's why it hit me, because I did start associating it with it. Oceans.
Yeah.
It had that, George Clooney had that Oceans vibe to him.
Yeah. He definitely
goes
does.
Over the characters and everything.
Goes over the characters. Talks about things, how they're going to do things, the plans. Well, like this plan didn't work out, so let's go over to this part.
I liked how he goes through
everyone. Where the cuss did this fence come from? Yeah. We had a master plan.
Like when he's going over everyone's names and he starts giving them their Latin names. And just like in Oceans where he's going over everyone's names, what they do, and then just gets to the possum. Why don't I get a Latin name? I don't know what it is.
They probably didn't have opossums in Rome. The part where he's going over all the Latin names is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they come, they meet that, they see that wolf.
Yeah.
Lupus, lupus. And they just put their fists up in the air. I thought that was going to be like a crazy part of the movie.
Yeah.
Because every time they mention a wolf up until that point, Mr. Fox freaks out a little bit. Uh-huh. Like, he's just like, what's all this talk about wolves about?
I like the very first time the possum says wolf. And he's just, what?
Yeah.
Wolf? Where? What?
Where? What'd you say stops. That? Did you say wolf?
Don't say that.
Oh. I do like how every time he goes to say a swear word, it's cuss.
Yeah, I love that in this movie. Mm-hmm. That they,
what, the cuss?
Yeah, they just take...
Holy cuss.
The descriptive word for swearing, yeah. Cuss, uh-huh. And they just use that in place of every single swear word mm-hmm. in the film. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Like when he's talking to his lawyer about buying the treehouse, and they're just like, you're going to listen to me, you cuss. Yeah. Like, don't you cuss and talk to me like that. And then they just start growling at each other. They're just circling the table. I also love anytime they have to eat something in the movie.
Yeah.
That one threw me through. Like, at first, like, I took a second. And I was like, that's actually kind of funny, where she sets down the French toast or whatever. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, he just 5 seconds, it's
like,
gone. And
there's utensils on the table.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. he's going to use them. And then he just is just, like, destroying this food. Uh-huh. That is so funny. And every character does it, which is the funniest thing. Uh-huh. Oh, man. Because they all seem like just these cute little characters. Mm-hmm. But... like the movie
immediately
later shifted. On when they're talking about, like, you know, hey, I'm a wild animal. That's why I do these things, yeah. And why, you know, I lied and why I can't just write a newspaper article. I'm a wild animal. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to kill chickens or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole movie, they're all wild animals. They all do that, you know? And I think that was probably a purposeful thing to not show the mom character ever, like, eating food or anything. Like, she's always just cooking or being like the voice of reason, you know? And I mean, there's more to her character than that.
Yeah.
She's a strong female character in the movie, you know, like she helps dig them through the hole or whatever. And she cares about her kids. And then when she finds out what Fox has been up to, she cuts him or whatever, you know what I mean? But, I don't know. I feel like they do that on purpose to, like, separate her from the rest of the wild animals in a way.
Sure. I never even thought that much about it.
Because she's the one who seems to have, like, made the decision to change.
Well, yeah.
Before the beginning of the film. You know what I mean? And then she's, like, reluctantly staying with him because she loves him or whatever.
Well, yeah.
Do that stuff. Then she tells him, and so he has to stop. But he never really wanted to stop.
Yeah.
Like, he did it for her or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe that's too deep for this film. But...
haven't we it all made done sense something to me. For someone we didn't want to do?
But anyway, she truly is not a wild animal any longer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she doesn't do anything like that until she has to fight the rat towards the end of the movie. And she doesn't even really fight him.
No, she doesn't really fight him. She gets knocked back and then,
then Fox,
Fox comes back and actually...
Which, how cool was that fight scene also with, like, the... electrical transformer going off.
Yeah. So I thought,
like,
that was flashing, actually really cool.
And you just see these, like, action poses. Mm-hmm. So sweet. And then it
ends up shocking the rat, and you just see skeleton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I liked when they were climbing over that electric fence when they're trying to get out
at
the
very beginning.
Uh-huh. Like, gotta climb. Getting
zapped. Yeah. You just see their skeletons.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This movie is full of just super comedic moments. Like, it's got so much character. I absolutely love it.
I like how he has his nephew come in and staying with him, and he's like, man, that kid's just amazing. He does karate, does all this stuff, he can really run, and then they're
he's going a natural.
Going to go steal, what is it, the beans at the beans place, and he's like, oh, we need Christofferson. He's a natural. He can do all this.
I also love the farmers, Boris Bunsen Bean. Is it Boris or Bogus?
Bogus.
Yeah. Boris Bogus and Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Bogus Bunsen Bean. Or is it Boris Bunsen Bean? I know it's Bunce and Bean. Shoot. Mr. and Mrs. Bean, Bogus, Bunce, Nathan and Bunce, and Walter Bogus. So it is Bogus, Bunce, and Bean. I feel like the casting for them was great.
Yeah.
And I just love the character, Mr. of the farmer, Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to say that without thinking Rowan Atkinson. No, but I like the Mr. Bean character because he's just so ruthless.
Yeah.
You know, and that scene where he tears apart his trailer comes out of nowhere. Like, it's straight out of left field because he's so, like...
He's fixated.
Yeah, he's very focused on killing that fox, you know? And
I like how he shoots off his tail.
And wears it as a necktie. Yeah, I love that. And how Mr. Fox runs around with just like a duct taped X on his butt for the rest of the movie. Oh, man. But I really like all three of those characters and their relationship because they obviously are like they go back a while.
Yeah.
Like the way that they interact with each other when they all show up for that first emergency meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, how things been going? And he's like, oh, I'm doing all right. Things have been better. And then he like asks Bunce. And Bunce starts to talk, and he just interrupts him. And he's like, you guys having fox problems? And then they both just freak out. Yeah. They're like, oh, my gosh, it's the worst thing ever. It's terrible. He's making us look like fools.
Like, oh, then right after that, he just pulls out his guns and just wildly starts shooting out all the lights.
I'll tell you how you get rid of him. Bang, 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 bang. And he's just shooting out all the light bulbs in his own house.
Yeah. Behind the back shots and all this stuff.
Yeah. It reminds me, honestly, kind of when, man, what's the name of that movie? All the names just, like, ran out of my head. That actor we really like, he's in Moon and in that
Jojo Rabbit.
What's his name? Takiti.
No, not Taika Waititi. The guy who plays...
Sam Rockwell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it reminded me of that scene when he's just like... They say I can shoot because I only have one eye. I'll show them. And then he's just like shooting randomly. Yeah. Like he hits like two or three things. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's just firing this gun because he's super cool. But Mr. Bean hits everything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then he just.
That's because he's Dumbledore.
What?
The actor.
Yeah. The guy who voices him is Dumbledore.
Oh.
In the later movies, not the first Dumbledore, because the first Dumbledore died.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I saw the
Anyways,
first one.
Anyways, he plays Dumbledore from like 3 through 8.
Nerd!
I'm not the only one.
I know.
Anyway, he gives them all guns, and they just like... I thought it was funny because they haven't been to his farm yet at that point in the movie, right?
No, they've been there. They went to all three of them.
Okay. So, anyway, he already knows where the fox lives. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, we're just going to wait him out. And then Mr. Fox walks outside with the opossum character. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, you smell that? All three! And he just, like, dives onto the ground. And they just start, like, shooting randomly. Yeah. They're just gunshots everywhere. Oh, man.
I like how they're wearing their bandit caps when they walk out, too. Yeah. Gonna go rob them again.
I love when she catches them.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fox catches them coming back. And she's like, what's he doing with a bandit cap? And he's like still wearing it over his face. So he rolls it up and he's like, I don't know, his ears were cold. He's not with us. Oh, man.
Doesn't even the possum look over and go, this isn't my fight, and turns around and walks away.
Well, he lies. And she's like, is that true? And he goes, I don't want to be put in the middle of this. He just turns around and walks away. I think how the possum character, too, is just like he can't.
He just zones out.
Yeah, he just zones out and like is never paying attention.
I was going to say, I think the possum character might be my favorite character in the film.
Really?
Yeah.
For me, it might be Ash.
Yeah?
The son, yeah. I think he is hilarious. Like, so their cousin comes to stay with him. Yeah, and he starts all these rumors about his cousin having pelt lice and fleas and stuff. And he's going to stay in his room with him, and he has a bunk bed, but he's forcing his cousin to sleep on the floor underneath the train set. And then the cousin is, like, asking him, hey, it's hard to sleep down there in a, you know, coiled up position or whatever. And, there's not enough room under the table. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? You want to sleep in my bed? I guess I'll just sleep in the corner or over there or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're a guest in my house. Stop complaining about whatever nonsense, you know? And so, like, the kid is there because his dad has the measles. Well, yeah. Isn't that what they say? But really, he's dead.
No, he has the measles, but it's not good. Like,
he's going to die.
Yeah, it's based on, like, 50s or something, and that was a common thing. Okay. If you get measles, you're going to die, most likely.
So anyway, the cousin comes to stay with them, and he's probably going to live there forever, mm-hmm. you know. But they tell the son that it's something more minor than that, because they don't want to bring it up in front of him of Christofferson.
I think the son knows it's measles because he says something about it. He says he's got 1 foot in the grave and 3 more on banana pills. Like, he knows he's going to die.
I don't know. They say, I remember the story is different. I'd have to rewatch it, but yeah. I'm pretty sure they tell the son that, like, the dad is hurt or sick or something.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, they tell him it's something less serious than it actually is. Because that's, like, this kind of unspoken thing between Christofferson and him. Because he keeps giving him a hard time because he doesn't realize the seriousness of the situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the funny part. Makes him sleep on the floor under that table. And so Christofferson starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets out of bed and climbs down there to check on him because he's crying. And then rather than, like, console him, he just turns on his toy train set. But it ends up working out because he can't sleep with the train going. So he gets out, and then they're both just sitting there watching the trains go around. But I just thought that was hilarious. Like, he gets down and, like, looks at him, and then he's like, well, I'll just play with my trains.
I like how Ash is always just wearing weird clothes, and he tucks his...
Because he's weird.
Yeah. and Mr. Fox goes, why do you have your socks or your pajamas tucked into your socks like that? It's weird. And he's just like, I like it. Walks away. So weird.
He's wearing a cape all the time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like how they're at the school and they're doing the science experiments, and he's talking to the girl and the girl Fox, and she keeps talking about Christofferson, and she goes, whose lab partner are you? She's like, oh, I'm your lab partner. No, you're not. You're a traitor.
He says you're disloyal.
Oh, you're disloyal. Yeah.
That is hilarious, though, because she keeps looking over at Christofferson, who's working with that weasel who blows up their science experiment.
Is it a weasel or a
beaver? Oh, he's a beaver.
Yeah.
He blows up the science experiment. Are you a bully? You sound like a bully. Blows up their science experiment. You're supposed to be my lab partner. I am your lab partner. No, you're not. You're disloyal. I just like his character, like the way he talks to everyone in the movie. Don't you think I have some of the same, like, raw natural talent that my dad did? Your dad? Your dad's the best. What is the name of that game?
Something
bat. Whack bat.
Yeah,
bat player this school's ever had. And then it shows, like, the trophy, and his dad is the person on top of the trophy, and it just says
his name.
Yeah.
Fox,
all the way, and then down at the bottom there's somebody else, a weasel or something. Yeah. I like that sport, how it... Owen Wilson's character has to describe the sport of whack bat, and it's like he lights the pine cone, hurls it at the whack bat player, who hits the bat and tries to knock off the crossbar. Meanwhile, everybody else is like running around, and it like shows an overhead view of it, and it reminds me of like those old Disney cartoons where like Goofy was playing baseball and they're like
the X's and the O's and
or football, and they use the X's and O's to try to describe it, and it just looks like madness.
Yeah,
it reminded me of that exactly, which I appreciated.
Well, I like how it's just supposed to be cricket, and then at the end, he's like, and then we score all that, and
divided by nine. So he puts him in for Ash. Ash, come out. You're getting a sub. Oh, but I feel really good, coach. I'm feeling great today. Just let me finish out this eighth.
Eighth.
So there's eighths, and then he goes out there, and Christofferson just crushes it on his first try.
Yeah.
And then he's like, divide that by nine, please. Whoa, he's a natural. And he's just upset already.
Yeah. You sure you've never played whack bat before?
Yeah, I really like the Ash character because he just wants his dad to be proud of him. Yeah. And, his dad obviously loves him, but they're trying to, like, create a new home for Christofferson or whatever, you know what I mean? And make him feel welcome. But at the same time, like, he doesn't really, like, he's not relating very well to his son at the time because his son's wearing superhero capes and stuff all the time. You know what I mean? Whereas Christofferson is kind of, I guess, more normal.
Yeah.
He's not as weird. I keep waving my hands around on the side of my head because that's how they do it in the movie.
I like how it shows Ash. He's always irritated. His ears are twitching. That's just what foxes do when they're distressed.
I don't know. The little details like that he works into the movie is just great. Anything else that you thoroughly enjoyed about this film, Zach?
Ooh, that's my nipple.
What are you doing over there?
I was stretching and, and scratching my back.
Sounded like you said nipple, not back.
Well, you were rubbing my nipple.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't me.
Can't prove it. There's no cameras in here. And Lizzie's going to cut all this out.
No, she's not.
Anyway, I don't want to spoil like too much of like the funny stuff that happens in the movie because I feel like people should definitely watch this film.
Yeah.
It's adorable for one, and just a legitimately good movie.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. It's a heist film, which I always forget when I'm telling people about it that it has kind of those elements. I mean, it's not like it's not high stakes. I mean, it is for the characters.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's more comedic than it is a heist film. You know what I mean? But they do break into places and steal stuff, you know? And when they go to try to steal back the fox's tail, that is hilarious how they end up like getting caught. And they're like, she's blind as a bat. Yeah, I think she has astigmatism or something. And then she comes back in with a knife and it's got brass knuckles on it.
Well, he keeps saying, because they're trying to eat the food and then he's like, Christofferson's like, we need to go. And he goes, oh, we're fine. She's blind, remember? And then she walks in and he's like, oh, time to go.
Like, she has like killing goggles on and stuff. Like she's ready to just murder these two foxes. Oh, man. And I love the rat, too, played by Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
He is a highlight of the film, I think. I mean, one of the highlights of the film, not the highlight, but it's, I think the best part of the whole film is the final showdown.
Yeah.
At Bean's Farms or whatever. I think that's the best part of the whole movie. Yeah. But
well, I think it's funny how far these three guys are willing to go.
To kill this fox.
Yeah, to kill the fox. And even at the end, it's just the one guy, because even the other two were like, man, we should have just left him alone. We shouldn't even be doing this.
Yeah. Well, that's when he freaks out and destroys the trailer, right?
No, it's right after... Well, yeah, I guess it is that. They steal everything. They steal all of the
They're digging out his home, so they go and steal everything.
Yeah, so they do that, and then they're like, yeah, we should have just left him alone. And we only lost a little. Now we lost everything.
And he's just fuming, Mr. Bean.
And every time he needs something, he gets on his little walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Petey! Which, how about that song Petey sings?
Yeah, it was
pretty
funny.
Mm-hmm. I won't spoil it, but the ending to that song is hilarious.
It's all nonsense.
Just gets mad at him. Oh, man. But, yeah, I think this movie is great. I think regardless of whether you're a Wes Anderson fan or not, I think it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
I can attest to this.
Yeah. And I think it's a great, let's say, gateway drug for other Wes Anderson movies. Because if you like this movie...
I will be the judge of that.
The other films that I recommended, those other five,
yeah.
I think those are all, if you liked this, I'd be willing to bet you'd like the majority of those.
Yeah.
So I'm personally not a huge Bottle Rocket fan. I've seen it once and I don't think it's worth watching again. Hmm. And Isle of Dogs, like I said, I don't think that's the greatest. But, and I've never seen Rushmore, but I think those five that I named earlier are great. I think they're all worth watching. I think there's one other one that I didn't bring up. But we'll let that one slide. So what do you think, Zach? Would you try out some of his other films now that you've seen this?
Maybe Life Aquatic, Royal Tenenbaums. Those would be probably the two that I would go for.
Yeah. Those are the other two that I think are like...
top tier.
Yeah, because those are the ones that are most associated with him.
Mm-hmm.
But my personal favorite of all of them, aside from Fantastic Mr. Fox, is probably Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
I was going to say one. That was actually another one that I've heard was pretty good as well.
I love that one. I think it's great. Anyway, anything else you guys want to plug about this movie?
It took 56,000 shots to make this.
Whew. It's just, anytime I look up, like, the process of a stop motion film.
Yeah.
It just astounds me. Have you seen, I know you've seen it, that movie, The Missing Link?
Yes.
Yeah. So that movie's done in stop motion also. But it's like really clean.
Yeah.
Stop motion. Like it looks like fresh clay to the point where it almost looks like they just did it with computers to make it look like stop motion.
Yeah.
And at the very end of the movie, during the credits, they show one scene.
Yeah.
How they built this set where, like, this wagon is, like, going down a road and how they filmed it. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it's that, really, like, cool. It took days to do that. And, like, forever. Like, it's slowly moving along and you can just see the people are darting in and out. Like, man.
It's all sped up.
Yeah, it's super sped up. Mm-hmm. And it's just the standard time in the film.
Yeah.
That movie is underrated.
Yeah.
The Missing Link. I had no interest in seeing it at all.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember why we watched it, but I think one of the kids wanted to see it or something. So we rented it and watched it, just streamed it or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was great. Honestly, nice. I should probably buy it and just add it to my home collection. It was pretty dang good. So.
I could say that's a DreamWorks, isn't it?
I don't know.
Hmm. Which one?
The Missing Link.
No.
Who did it?
Who did do it?
Oh, also, Fantastic Mr. Fox, if you're wanting to watch it right now, it's streaming on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Yes.
So hopefully it's still there when this episode airs in 2 weeks.
It was owned by Fox.
I don't think it's going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it'll be there forever now.
It's kind of an odd title. It doesn't, like, fit in with Disney.
Yeah, but it's a family thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it totally fits in if you look at it from that perspective. Yeah. Like I said, I think anybody can watch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Missing Link is a. It's under a thing, Lakey.
Okay.
Same people who did Box Trolls.
Oh, and I saw that.
I want to say, and Paranorman.
I want to say it was okay.
I never did see those.
Huh. I never saw Paranorman, but I saw Box Trolls.
Oh, we should say this is all based off of a book by Roald Dahl.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's like a personal hero of Wes Anderson.
Yeah, and so this story in particular is, so the son, one of his actual sons died from measles, and that's why the dad of Christofferson has measles in this. And then he had another son die from, like, water on the brain, some weird kind of sounding thing. But
It was water on the brain as a result of a car accident.
Yeah. And so his two sons died, and then this was a film about a dad trying to protect his kids. And so that's how he got through this.
Huh.
Yeah.
Apparently this movie was recorded, all the voice acting stuff was recorded on location and not in sound studios. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They go to outside in the forest.
Up in an attic and underground for different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
535 puppets were made for the movie.
Dang.
Mr. Fox had 17 different styles alone, and each of Mr. Fox's styles had to be done in 6 different sizes. He has 102 puppets alone.
Wow.
Just for Mr. Fox.
I wonder if you could buy one of those online.
Probably would be a lot of money.
You think?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not a lot of people saw this. You know?
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet, like, maybe about 500.
You think that much? Mm-hmm. I was thinking like maybe 100 or 2.
I bet you go about 5.
I can't show that look kind it up of money. All right, I'll go on eBay and see if
especially with how critical it was, because right here it said it took 7 months to perfect the first Mr. Fox puppet.
Well, over but once they get puppets into secondhand, though, like, the market is different.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be 100% right. I'm just saying.
Oh, here's another nod to Mr. Dahl. The tree that the foxes live in is based off of beech tree that was on Dahl's property, and the whole town, like all the little, the factories and the animals and stuff all live in the little town based off of where Roald Dahl worked and lived and everything, all the little factories and stuff. But yeah, a beech tree is what the Fox family house is based off of.
Hmm.
There is a toy line for this film.
What?
Yeah. They're all over eBay.
Hmm.
Oh, maybe it's just something Funko did. They don't look like Funko. They're not pop figures, but they're like vinyl figures. But they don't all seem to have that kind of a... Well, yeah, maybe that's who made them. All right, let's see here. I'm trying to find it. I've looked Fantastic Mr. Fox puppet. Fantastic Mr. Fox...
20th Century Fox considered making Mr. Fox the company mascot. but decided not to because of how the idea was too similar to a joke once made on The Simpsons.
Fantastic Mr. Fox. Oh, man, what is a name for something that was prop?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Large figure, 27 and a half inches. So it's...
Is it an authentic prop?
You say 20 and a half inches? That's pretty
27
big.
And a half inches.
That's big.
That's what she said.
I'm pulling it up to see if it's just like, if it's actually, I would imagine it was actually used in the film. They're asking $485.
Dang, how much? Zach.
$485. Which would put you spot on. But it doesn't look...
If it's not authentic, then imagine what an authentic one's going to cost.
Well, that's just what some jerk-off on eBay is asking. It doesn't mean he'll get it.
Jerk-off.
That's right. I'm calling you out.
Mr. eBayer guy, if you're listening to our episode, we apologize.
Can you see, like, people's names? Who's selling this?
Ooh, this was George Clooney's first starring role in an animated movie.
Huh. I can't tell if this is used in a movie. I think it's just some kind of figure. Does that look like they use it? Like, it doesn't look exactly like he does in the film. It
doesn't look fluffy enough.
But it could just be the writing. And, like, look at the tail here on this photo. Does it look the same? I mean, it could be. It could be. It looks kind of off to me. But I suppose it could be. Huh. Make an offer.
$3.
Rare NECA life-size movie prop gremlin Fisher Stripes statue. Oh, Flasher Stripes statue. $600. Oh, man. Yeah, I've looked up actual movie prop puppets from Gremlins before, and you can get them from like for like three to seven. Some of the more iconic ones, like the Flasher or the Spider, those ones are really expensive, like thousands of dollars. But like, you could get a standard Gremlin for a few hundred bucks, theoretically. I'm just gonna search it, and then maybe I can rank them, like most expensive to least expensive or something, and just see what comes up. A lot of like Criterion Collection film boxes come up.
Yeah. It's because this film is a part of the Criterion Collection. Oh, what is the Criterion Collection?
I don't know. Because, like, theoretically, you could make anything a Criterion part of that collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I'm pretty sure every single one of Wes Anderson films is part of that list.
Okay.
Though there's not very many, you know?
Interesting.
Roald Dahl, Fantastic Mr. Fox, the book. You can get it for $4. And that's almost worth buying just to, like, have it.
Yeah.
Hardcover, pre-owned, $40. Ooh. But the paperback ones are cheap. Cheap as cuss. See what I did there? There's an $80 one. 1970 edition with the dust jacket.
Ooh.
Fancy, fancy. There's no, like, movie props up here, though, except for that one.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the stuff, and there's nothing for sale.
Yeah, it might not even be legit. Movie prop auctions. I'm just thinking maybe there's another site that would have it. You know what I mean? Replicas? No, thank you. Because I know that there was like some place a while ago, I got a notification that they were going to be doing auctions with actual movie used stuff. Prop store? Was that it? That might be it. I don't know. Anyway, you guys got any more trivia about this film?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. You want to plug our stuffs?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at Excellent Movie Adventures, and you can send us email at excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, Excellent Movie Pod, and Zach and Pickle are on Twitter and Instagram at their following things.
At Pix Adventures.
At Z Van Beekum.
This movie was excellent.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Excellent!
Anyway, if you give a cuss about watching it, you should. I might just start doing that now.
Yeah.
Good work. Good work, Ian.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
See you later.